This is Blood and Firewater, a true crime comedy discussion type podcast. We shoot tequila and we chase it with a case of murder. Just as a disclaimer, this podcast contains mature content not suitable for all ages, so listener's discretion is advised. I am your host, Rashad, and I would like to thank each and every one of you for tuning into the show. We promise not to be insensitive to the victims and respect their families. However, we will poke fun at other persons, places, and things involved with the case. And we will keep our opinions based on the facts of the case. We're not professionals, and we don't pretend to be.
She's adorable. I love her.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad that you love your cousin, because that's totally appropriate. Now, if...
See, you're making it awkward.
What?
You are so making this shit awkward.
How is this awkward?
I say I love my cousin. Oh, yeah, that's totally appropriate for you to love your cousin.
It like, is. Do you don't
fuck
think,
you.
You don't think it's appropriate to love your cousin?
Start the show.
It is. Okay, start the show. I'm Rashad. Over there's Dre.
Howdy.
This is Blood and Firewater.
But no, don't.
It's totally appropriate for you to love your cousin. I have cousins that I don't like, but then again, I have cousins that I don't even know, so I don't know which one's worse. It's like you ever run into, you go to a family reunion, and you see everybody you've seen at that family reunion, every family reunion, and you don't know names, much less a phone number. I feel like I go through my phone and look at contacts, but I only call the same three people. I'm like, why do I have all these people saved in my phone?
In case they call you.
You're right. Shout out to the guy that invented putting contacts in the phone. Okay, so anyway, Dre, we're talking about today another urban legend. Yeah, it's just an urban legend. Mm-hmm. It's not really. It's scary in a sense of the word because as of right now, my kids in there watching YouTube. Mm-hmm. And this case kind of has, this urban legend has a connection with that. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's very fearful. It shouldn't even be something you should be afraid of during Halloween. It should be something that you're afraid of all the time. Because this is probably the time of year when creators of, you know, video content that is watched millions of times, and by like I showed you that video I saw that was hit a billion views. Like, I'd never seen B next to the views. I was like, a billion? What? And Despacito has 6 billion views. 6 billion people know Despacito. That's scary. But you can be in a very bad situation and then just start humming it. And then dude's gonna be like, hey, that's a great song, put it on real quick, and you bought yourself a little time because of Despacito.
Is that where you went when you saw that?
What?
You immediately thought that somebody was gonna come and murder you and they would give you a little bit more time.
If they also knew Despacito, which is highly likely.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, so
six billion people. That means there's only a billion people that haven't heard it. Like, I want you tomorrow go to work or go somewhere. And
I don't go anywhere.
Okay. Well, get online or get on, like, you play Call of Duty.
I do.
What's your gamer tag?
Say word 27.
On Xbox?
Xbox.
Everybody, yeah. Add him if you have an Xbox and kill him for me. But no, like, that 6 billion people have heard Despacito. Yeah. So a million people haven't.
A billion haven't.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying like 6 billion individuals, but like collectively, if you were ever anywhere and accidentally heard Despacito, you're also somebody that heard it. So the videos kind of match up to the content or to the way the song was pushed.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually not that bad a song. I have no idea what they're saying.
Naturally.
In the entire song. That makes me feel very small, because first off, I was one of those billion people that hadn't seen the video.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that right there
probably.
Now you are one of those.
Yeah, now I am one. That's scary. So before I went off on a whole different tangent about something. So we all remember the challenges from YouTube, from the cinnamon challenge to the Harlem Shake, planking, the ALS ice bucket challenge, the running man. I could be here for a minute if you need me to keep naming challenges, but like they haven't stopped. It's just like, hey, watch me do this. And
it was like a Tide Pod challenge.
Billion views. Yeah, it was a Tide Pod challenge. Mm-hmm. We are now in the age of the TikTok challenges and challengers or whatever. So like all these dance moves, and there are well over 800 million users on TikTok, well below the more popular social media giants like Facebook and YouTube, which both sit at right around 2 to 3 billion. So half the people in the world have a Facebook, or at least multiple Facebooks. And then Instagram and MySpace are in the neighborhood of about 1 billion. MySpace is still a thing.
Really?
Yeah, there's 1 billion people that use it.
MySpace.
Yeah, I'm thinking about making a MySpace. I'm sure there's podcasters that have MySpace. I'm going to start shouting the link out at the end of every episode. And say, hey, hit me up on MySpace. See what the fuck happens. You know? Or maybe not.
That's a niche market.
Yeah, very, honestly, very. Yeah. 1 billion, I guess. There's more people that seen Despacito. Here's the scary part. Facebook came out in 2004. So it took them 16 years to get to 3 billion. And TikTok is only 4 years old. And it already has 800 million. Let me check my watch. It's probably over 1 billion now. Like by now. It was 800 million like in June. 6.7 billion people on this earth constantly sharing too much information. Much like this urban legend that we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the urban legend that was created right in front of millions, if not billions of people around the world. A full-blown urban legend birthed.
Like you saw it. You
like
saw
we watched it. We watched the delivery. And the family was urban legends. Now, if you don't know what a creepypasta is, it's basically a story copy and pasted over and over again on the internet. Some details get changed as the story gets shared. I do a better explanation of creepypastas in our Slenderman episode. So just check that one out. Just like the rest of the creepypastas, no one ever saw this thing for real, for real. We're going to talk about the Momo Challenge. This urban legend was born in Japan. For those who aren't familiar with Momo, it is a type of East and South Asian steam filling dumpling popular across the Indian subcontinent and the Himalayan regions of South Asia. It is also it is also at its first creation a bug-eyed, emaciated Asian-looking woman, so already creepy. Then she has a super over-exaggerated sinister smile, but with a beak for a mouth, so like no lips, but she does like have like a bottom ridge of a lip, but those aren't fucking lips. She's got like a Whoville mouth part thing going on. I don't know how to describe it. Like if Whoville had a boogie monster, she would be their boogie monster.
The Grinch
is the Grinch a boogie monster?
I would assume so. That's what it seems like they talk to him as.
But like they know where he's at. Like he lives at the top of a mountain.
The Grinch was their boogeyman. I mean, essentially, you know, you didn't know where the boogeyman was. But it was like one of those things.
But you know where the Grinch is at, though.
Yeah, but he's like up in the mountains. You know, it's that's such a vague thing to say. You know, like, and they said like the boogeyman was like under your bed or in closets. You know what I'm saying? And like they were like the Grinch is just in the mountains. Doesn't mean
no, I get
exactly
it.
Where he is.
Like I'm not saying that I don't understand, you know, the concept of the boogeyman. I'm just saying, like, why can't you just let me just say like it would be the same as the boogeyman? Like why you gotta be like, no, it's the Grinch?
I'm just saying that's what is. You said Whoville.
Yeah.
So like, the first place I jumped to is the Grinch. Because the only thing I can think about is like a big green monster.
Anyway, she's got a Michael Jackson nose and cheekbones.
Jeez.
still raised super high, and she hasn't washed her hair in years. Also, some chick old bitties.
I was wondering about that. I thought it was like a part of like a chin.
Those are titties.
Those are tits.
And this thing was huge. It had to be at least 3 feet tall and weighed, based on eyeballing it from pictures, in the neighborhood of like 300 to 500 pounds. I don't know if you ever looked at a picture. Yeah, obviously you saw a picture of it.
Yeah.
But like, it was huge.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a little small, like Beanie Baby size thing. It was like a 5-year-old size thing. It's got an O.J. Simpson head with a Steph Curry body. So it had to be making a sculpture like that when it's like so top heavy. Balancing it out had to literally been the challenge. Like, how do I put this gigantic head on this titty body with crow's feet? I forgot about that. There's fucking talons at the bottom of this thing. And at first, it was just a sculpture. That's it. A guy made it knowing that was his vision. That's what he wanted to make. The guy that made it, his name is Kisuke Asawa. Mm-hmm. From a Japanese special effects company called Link Factory. And it was named, quote, Mother Bird, unquote. It's a very fitting name because of the talons. And it was displayed for the first time at Tokyo's Vanilla Gallery and was first appeared in as early as 2016. July 10th of 2016, an Instagram user snapped a picture and cropped it just to show the sculpture's head. And other people on Instagram took pictures, and it inevitably gets posted on Reddit, where everything goes.
Naturally.
And then that's where it went viral. Now, what's great about urban legends from here on out is when they're created, someone has a timestamp from when it was posted. Evidence of its creation.
Naturally.
The name Momo came out of nowhere, though. I don't know where that came from. Like, I did a little bit of research about, like, hey, where did the name come from? And there's no result.
I thought Momo came from Mother Bird.
Sure. But, like, is it in a different language?
I don't.
It's like Swahili or something?
I thought it was just like, what's it called? Like an abbreviation of it kind of thing.
But in the beginning, one of the sources of it going viral was on in the Spanish web, South America, or whatever you call the internet there. The same day that the pictures of Mother Bird dropped, YouTuber El Diablo, he shared a video that featured those same photos, but he commented,
"Le mando mensajes a Momo número maldito de WhatsApp."
So if you're unfamiliar with WhatsApp, because that's the application that El Diablo commented that, you know, you could contact Mother Bird or Momo or whatever. It's basically a phone app that allows you to call, text, send pictures, basically everything a phone will do via Wi-Fi. The difference is the application is encrypted so that users have the protection of anonymity and there's no way of telling who's on the other line. The following day, another YouTuber uploaded a video titled Exploring the Momo Situation, where he called many of the phone numbers given in the comments of the first video. That video gained 100,000 views in almost 24 hours. That would be like below average today, wouldn't it?
Right.
Like you're barely making it in the game with less than 100,000 in a day.
Oh yeah.
Bro, I watched I read the statistics on TikTok, and they're scary.
What do you mean?
People like the more popular TikTok. There's people that are TikTok famous, first off.
Yeah.
For dancing. And there's people that go to Juilliard to dance and don't make the money that these people
are making on TikTok. Yeah.
That is first off, that is fucking insane.
But it's just like modeling. It's the same thing that Instagram did to modelers.
But that's disgusting to me. But like, so the way I went down a rabbit hole on TikTok for a minute. It said multiple websites were like, if you don't get, I think 500 likes or 1,000 likes in the first 30 minutes, your video is shit.
Oh.
Yeah.
So 500 to 1,000 likes in the first 30 minutes.
They do it in increments of 30 minutes. Not even a whole day. It's a, like every half an hour. Yeah.
I'll be dancing my ass off.
Bro, just getting it every day. We had a TikTok. I made a TikTok. I never put a video on TikTok. Mm-hmm. I don't plan on doing it again. But I might.
So you have a TikTok?
I had one.
So if I wanted to dance,
right,
you would record me. Because these moves, Rashad, these moves are sweet.
Yeah. I've seen them.
Thank you.
If you want to see Dre's moves, I guess we'll have a TikTok. I guess this is what we got to do. I'll update everybody on it later. But when people would call the numbers back, people would receive really mean messages back. They would be enticed to think that Momo knew something very personal about them. Since they messaged Momo, Momo basically had access into the user's phone. Messages would also be of really grotesque images and often promoted self-harm. But the internet is a dark, creepy place. A nonsensical, beautifully ugly place. But what the internet does best is it slowly but surely will circulate whatever it is that you're trying to put out there.
Mm-hmm.
This image of Momo from the Instagram pictures began to surf the internet. And what do people do best but make up a story of something that they can't explain? It's just people's way of dealing with things. But and that's what happened with the statue. At first, it was just a chick with chicken feet. But now it's this whole craze. And then Momo started circulating in the dark places of the internet, much like how Slenderman was born.
Mm-hmm.
Then on July 25th, 2018, the Argentinian police began to investigate if the quote-unquote Momo game had anything to do with a suicide by hanging of a 12-year-old girl in her backyard in Buenos Aires. So super early into the life of this thing, the Momo challenge already started. And it's jumped halfway across the world from Japan to South America. After discovering messages on her phone from the WhatsApp chats in her log, they released a statement saying, quote, intention was to upload the video to social media as part of a challenge aimed at crediting the Momo game, unquote. So, like, they found her phone, like, right next to her, and I guess, like, evidence of something.
Right. Something happened.
Yeah, something happened here. Two other deaths were tied to the Momo challenge in August of 2018 via suicide of a 12-year-old girl and a 16-year-old boy in Colombia. Dr. Dawn Branley Bell, a cyber psychologist, because that's a thing now.
You said a cyber psychologist?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm working on my degree.
That's 2016?
2016, yes. No, this was 2018.
Okay, my fault.
I'm working on my degree right now, actually. I'm actually in the enrollment process. I filled out like the parts with my name and my address and stuff. I just got to put in the payment information and then I'll be good to go.
So it's a degree mill.
It's an international school. So I'm on. So Dr. Bell, a cyber psychologist, she reported that risky internet challenges like the Momo challenge do exist, but they only affect a minority of internet users. These crazies are not unique to the online environment. It's just that the internet acts as a way of communicating these behaviors to a wider, more public audience. So if things like the Momo challenge or the Blue Whale challenge, I don't know if you, do you ever, so the Blue Whale challenges, I'll get to it. If they existed in the 90s, it would be the equivalent of doing the Bloody Mary challenge and telling children not to watch videos of people doing it, because that's so real. August 2nd, 2018 is when Fox News spun the shit out of this, taking it from the title of a WhatsApp game meme thing and giving it a whole new life as the Momo Suicide Challenge, quickly comparing it to the Blue Whale Challenge that was invented in Russia. This is where we're further clued into the intent of Momo and her challenge. So the Blue Whale Challenge and the Momo Challenge went hand in hand. It's a game played online via the WhatsApp application, where the participants message an anonymous number. From there, an assigned handler would give the impression that the user was talking to Momo. I've seen a Black Mirror episode about this, but the harm is done to others. It's a crazy episode. Like, I know you don't watch Black Mirror.
I do not.
You should watch it.
I've seen parts of it, and it's actually, it looks pretty good.
But how this game worked, if you want to call it that, the user would then receive messages via WhatsApp encouraging children to do things such as dance in public and in the beginning, and then escalating to setting yourself on fire, disappearing for 72 hours, take pills you find in your house, stab people, stab yourself, leading up to the grand finale, which is suicide.
Mm-hmm.
So now the Momo Challenge has legs. It can come into your home without you knowing and motivate your children to hurt themselves without your knowledge. You know, the fun stuff. February 25th, 2019, a Scottish news site reported that a mother claimed that her son was told by someone to hold a knife to his own neck. Mom had this to say about the incident. He showed me an image of a face on my phone, and he said that she had told him to go in the kitchen drawer and take out a knife and put it to his own neck. We've told him it's a load of rubbish, and there are bad people out there who do bad things, but it's frightening. Really frightening. I feel that's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
All right. The next day, Northcutt School Hull tweeted that they were aware of the Momo Challenge and that the images of Momo were being hacked into children's programs on YouTube Kids, including videos of Fortnite and Peppa Pig. I fucking hate Peppa Pig, but
everybody does.
So not only does this thing have legs and wings because of the chicken feet, but now it has coding and JavaScript skills. So Twitter did what Twitter does best and spread that shit like wildfire.
Mm-hmm.
When a user tweeted a picture of Momo, further warning parents of the challenge. Within 24 hours, almost 12,000 retweets and 8,400 likes. A YouTube video gets uploaded about the Momo challenge, which again fueled the fire, gaining 540,000 views and 480 comments. Now, the world is on fire with the Momo Challenge. It's only been, like, months. There is only one person in the world that can help us right now. That person is Kim Kardashian. She posted... She posted on her story on Instagram with the caption, at YouTube... Please help! 2 exclamation marks, and that's her contribution.
Oh God, she really has her finger on the issues.
All of this shit happened in one day. All that stuff, the YouTube video, the tweets, all that. Kim Kardashian coming to save the day.
24 hours is a long time, bro.
Please help! A statement was published from YouTube. Quote, contrary to press reports and Kim Kardashian, we've not received any recent video, recent evidence of videos showing or promoting the Momo Challenge on YouTube. Content of this kind would be in violation of our policies and removed immediately. Unquote. You go, YouTube, putting it out there, letting them see it. Now, what happens with creators of content that gets negative spin, like Slenderman,
mm-hmm.
is turned into shit, and they feel responsible. On March 3rd, 2019, an interview was published by the creator of the statue, and he said, quote, people do not know if it is true or not, but apparently the children have been affected, and I do feel a little responsible for it. I feel like I'm in trouble, but it's all out of my hands, unquote. He had to throw the statue away as it started to rot, which, I mean, the story of Momo kind of went with it. Like, it went from, I checked the Google Analytics of it, and it went from, like, nothing to, like, astronomical numbers, and then right back to nothing. Very soon. Like, I searched it that day, like, 7 times, and I looked up the analytics, and I was the person in the world that searched it seven times.
I feel like it was like the Spider-Man meme when you're like pointing at each other.
Yeah. You're the guy that's keep doing this. Stop it. Like, this is how this shit gets spread. There was never any real proof of the YouTube videos containing Momo to ever surface. No screenshots of anyone seeing the embedded clips in Peppa Pig or Fortnite videos. The WhatsApp thing stopped twerking, and the mythos of the Momo suicide challenge faded to black just as fast as it became the worst thing on YouTube. It was all a big hoax. Just a false flag, or pump fake, or
hesitation shot.
But what should come from this is that it's your responsibility to monitor what your child, if you have them, or children, if you got those, are watching on any platform, whether it's an app or a video game or whatever. I'm not saying you have to monitor everything, but if your child has a favorite, key into that one. Watch it with them is the easiest way. Like, I watch the videos my daughter watches on YouTube all the time. And, like, I get sucked into them just like she does. Every time. Like, especially...
They are very...
She just recently discovered the Vaughn videos. And I was like, Marley, I've seen these. Like, you're watching the same stuff I used to watch. And there was somebody that kind of made me really think about the whole thing with kids and watching YouTube videos. It's just like this. When I was about to buy a house, I watched a lot of House Hunters. I watched a lot of stuff about buying houses or whatever.
Right.
Because it just made sense to me. I wanted to educate myself on that. Also, I have a true crime podcast. I watch a lot of true crime documentaries and things like that.
Right.
Marley watches people play video games because she's into that video game. She watches Roblox videos, like, and it's not the video that bothers me, it's the host of the video. The game really can't get any worse than like your player dying and like you fall apart in like Lego parts. That's basically it.
Right.
But then you come right back. Like this unlimited lives in Roblox.
Right.
But Kev, good God, Kev. I need him to tone it down a little bit. And for the, like, I'm sure there's probably one person. If you're the one person that knows who I'm talking about, message me on Twitter at BFWPodSquad and we'll send you some free stuff. But, like, tone it down, Kev. Cyberbullying is by far worse than any of these stupid-ass challenges that might get you to kill yourself. Because I feel like there's a lot more of that going on. And it actually has more negative effects on older children as well. So, like, encourage your child to at least talk to you if they experience anything, like seeing something stupid on the internet or seeing something crazy on YouTube. Or, like, if you watch it with them and be like, hey, look, let's talk about what you just saw, kind of thing. Like, that heart-to-heart thing will change a kid's mind. Like, because honestly, kids don't like confrontation.
Naturally.
So, I just feel like cyberbullying is more prevalent than these suicide challenges. And in my experience, when I first heard of the Momo challenge, I literally sit here and watch the videos that she watches. I know the creators. I subscribe just so I can make sure that they aren't the ones doing it. You know what I mean? Like their videos aren't embedded with, you know, this thing, which, you know, hackers do all the time. Shout out to Russia. But I'm waiting on my favorite Russian show to come out. I've already got a favorite Irish show and a favorite Canadian show and a favorite. Netflix has been booming in 2020.
Oh yeah.
Like,
you crazy? This is their year.
This is like the Super Bowl every day for them.
It's like the glow up.
And if you're currently or know someone that is currently dealing with thoughts of or are harming themselves, I strongly encourage you to receive help or suggest that they receive help from professionals, not us. Help is always available 24 hours a day. You can text or call or even talk to them online anonymously, but get the help that you need, please. The number of the United States Suicide Hotline is 1-800-273-8255. And for our international listeners, please look into your respective country's directory. There's one out there for you. With that being said, that is us for tonight. We do have a new Patreon member. Thank you, Kara Crumpton, for signing up for our She's Buying Shots Now tier. I'll be sending her,
Wait, who's pouring them? Her or you?
No, she's buying shots.
She's buying them, but who's pouring them?
What?
What?
Okay. So I'll be sending her some stickers, and this is that shout out on the show, and I'll also give her a shout out on Instagram and Twitter tomorrow, probably. But be on the listen and look out for that, homegirl, because you made it. Okay, so with all that being said, the dishes are done. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at BFW Pod Squad, Instagram at Blood and Fire Water Podcast, and Tumblr at BFW Podcast. Or no, Twitter, Twombler. Twombler.
To Hoomler.
Tumblr at Blood and Fire Water Podcast. Happy soon to be Halloween, everybody. It is literally 20 days away. So I hope everybody plans accordingly. I feel like that's the most important thing.
Right.
And wash your hands and
wear a mask.
Stay alert and stay alive.